When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar!
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Labor Day. It's time to get outdoors and make your holiday weekend one to remember. And there's no better place to get ready than Cabela's. Get 30% off all Cabela's camp kitchens, furniture, and cots. $100 off a Ruger American Bolt Action Rifle with Vortex Scope Combo after sale and mail-in rebate. 15% off all in-stock canoes and kayaks. And $20 off Winchester USA Bulk Handgun Ammo. Hurry in and gear up for Labor Day weekend at Cabela's.
So that little boop boop starts the show. Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio coming up to the last day of August. I think everybody's pretty much back to school. It's August 30th. It's a Tuesday. And we're going to be talking about STEM education on this show with two very special guests, Klaus von Zastrow. And I hope I am pronouncing that right, Klaus. You'll tell me. Who's the COO and director of research for a wonderful organization called Change the Equation. And just go to changetheequation.org and you'll be pretty impressed. It's a CEO-led initiative to connect and align efforts to improve STEM education in the United States. And we also have Amanda Dillingham. Now, Amanda is a science teacher at East Boston High School, and I'm going to give her a quiz to see if she's really from East Boston High School. Excuse me. And she uses the Amgen biotech experience in her classroom. We're going to thank you, Amgen Foundation, for putting this together for me, Alyssa, et cetera. Hold on. I got a cough again. Sorry. Oh, there you go. Good Lord. What's going on here? The Amgen Biotech Experience is a science education program that provides teachers professional development, curriculum materials, and research-grade equipment. And it also features a hands-on molecular biology curriculum designed to introduce students to the excitement of scientific discovery, the Amgen Biotech Experience. I don't know what's going on with my throat. Let me grab a drink. Wait a minute. This should be interesting. Sorry about that. I don't know what's causing that. I guess it's the end of my allergy. I don't know. The regular coughing seems to have stopped, but every so often it catches up with me. I got to tell you. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio with a direct link, just like we have already done. So I sent it to Amanda, and I sent it to Amgen, and I sent it to Change the Equation, who tweets at Change Equation. Oh, at Change Equation. So without further ado, let me bring on the two people. And Amanda, get ready for your quiz. Okay, Amanda, are you there?
Oh,
yeah,
here
we go. You ready? You say you're an East Boston science teacher. So I'm going to give you one word. And if you could define the word for me, okay, that will prove that you actually are in East Boston. Are you ready?
Yes, I think.
Okay, here we go. Santarpio's.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Best pizza ever.
There you go. There you go.
Yep.
Thank you
Santarpio's.
Very much. Santarpio's.
Right by Logan Airport. Exactly.
Right by Logan Airport.
That's how I get people to come visit me.
That's exactly right. So if you ever go to Logan Airport, everybody's listening nationally. You fly into Boston, Logan Airport, 2 minutes away, Santarpio's Pizza. Trust me, you won't go wrong. Trust me, right, Amanda?
Absolutely. It's the best.
There you go. I'm in Maine, but we lived in Boston area for a long, long time. And by the way, I don't know if I introduced myself. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Education Talk Radio, and please call me Larry, both of you. Klaus, are you there?
I am.
I was expecting a heavy German accent, Klaus von Zastrow. Can you do
that?
Yeah,
well, years of therapy, you know.
It, You didn't need the therapy, but it worked. It's going. Whatever. Were you born in Germany, or were you born in Germany?
No, no. I was born in this country, and my parents spelled my name with a C just so it would sound really American.
Oh, good. Like, I could have read Claus like Santa Claus. You'd be good for the kids, but it's Klaus, Klaus. Klaus.
That's
von
right.
Zastro. And I hope I didn't overpronounce the Zastro part. I tried to get it as
perfectly fine.
I tried. This is going to be a good show. We're talking about STEM education. And I'm working out here, and I want you to explain. In fact, I'll go to Klaus first, okay? Klaus, why has changed the equation? How do you guys fit in with Amgen and what Amanda's doing in her classroom? We'll get into that in great detail. But talk about change the equation, which, by the way, I want to tell you something. My wife works at WGBH television in Boston in their education department, public TV. And she works with teachers. She's in professional development, and she goes all over New England working with teachers, and used to go all over the country. And she absolutely adores Change the Equation. And I want you to know that you and I'm going to get in touch with you, and we're going to do more shows from Change the Equation.
Great.
You are the keystone here, okay? And my wife Carolyn just loves you guys. Tell us how you're working with Amgen, and who Carolyn has worked with as well. Yeah.
Well, let me start saying, first of all, that, you know, with WGBH, the feeling is mutual. So because of all the wonderful things WGBH does. But I'll switch tack now to Change the Equation. We are, as you mentioned, a CEO-led organization. We're a membership organization of companies. And one of our very valued members is Amgen. And what we do is we are a nonprofit 501c3 that helps companies work together more effectively to advance principles in STEM education. And so we base a lot of our work in research. We do lots of research on what works and what doesn't. We never sugarcoat what doesn't work. And we find that the Amgen Foundation has precisely that same ethic. And so that's why we worked together with them on a piece of research that we thought could help teachers and other people who are designing science education strategies do so more effectively.
That is terrific. And again, knowing what I know about Amgen and biotech and what you guys do, it's just incredible. And I think you got a great teacher here. Amanda, you're at East Boston High School, right?
I am, yes.
Santarpia, or otherwise known as Santarpio's High School.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
And best pizza, I'm telling you, everybody, best pizza.
It is.
All right. Tell us about it. I know it, certainly, but a lot of people don't know it. Tell us about East Boston High School a little bit. What's the demos? That sort of stuff.
Sure. East Boston High School is an exceptionally special school. It's in Boston Public Schools, and it's really has a great neighborhood feel. Our headmaster, Bill Brandeforti, actually grew up in the neighborhood that he now is our principal in. Our students, we have about 1,500 students, and about 80% of those students speak Spanish as their first language. And it is extremely diverse. My students are fabulous. I can't imagine working anywhere else with this group of kids.
Wow, that is really nice. What grade are you teaching?
I teach 10th, 11th, and 12th. So I have different classes that correspond to different grade levels.
And is it all biology? Or are you teaching physics?
This year I'm going to teach an AP biology class, a couple of honors biology classes. I've taught biology one, full year biology. But I'm definitely a hardcore biology teacher.
Wow, that's cool. My two favorite teachers actually were both science teachers. By the way, this was 24,000 years ago. But Mr. Pearson, junior high, and Miss Litt, who was my biology teacher and just great at Overbrook High in Philly. And I love those two teachers. They were just great. So I'm sure you fit into their footsteps well. Okay? It's just super. And by the way, I must tell you. Yeah, I bet you do. And I must tell you something, since we're going to talk a little bit about molecular biology. I was doing a show about virtual reality and education this morning. It was the 9 a.m. show. And in China, they actually have at their elite schools in I guess, Beijing and maybe Shanghai, it's all virtual reality where the kids go into a cell and they become a cell, basically, and learn the human body that way and all the things that a cell can do and the molecules, et cetera. We're a little ways from that in the U.S., but it's coming. It's coming. That's all
exciting.
I can tell you. It's Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. You folks did a students on STEM survey, okay, which I think is sometimes the left out part of the equation. Speaking of equations, Klaus, okay,
yeah.
what the students, okay, are thinking about this, and I'll start with which of you wants to start and explain that, Klaus or Amanda? Just scream out.
I could explain that, and in fact, you know, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. One of the reasons why we did this was that we wanted to listen to an audience that's, you know, often overlooked in conversations about school reform, and that is the students themselves.
Yeah.
We felt that by listening to this population, we could really get guidance to educators and to schools on what high schoolers in particular really want. You know, so what gets them excited about science? What can we do to rope them in? You know, this is the kind of stuff that Amanda knows intuitively through all the work that
yeah.
she's done with all of her students, but we wanted to get a big national picture with some data.
Well, not every school in the country is like East Boston, okay?
Yeah.
And by the way, I want to say this, you know, it's Boston Public Schools. It's the other side of the harbor. Okay.
It is.
A lot of people don't go there. It's you know, you got to go through one of the tunnels. Okay. Ted Williams. I won't give this directions here, but Ted Williams or the summit to get over there. Okay. You get this great view of the Boston skyline. But what you said was absolutely right. It is a real neighborhood. Okay. You get this. It's a little isolated from the rest of the city, and it's a real neighborhood. And that's the exact feel that you get. You were dead on right. What did you have your kids take the survey, Amanda, or did you work with it or whatever?
Well, I haven't worked with the survey here, but I work with the program. So I've worked with Amgen Foundation for a few years, and I've worked with the Amgen Biotech Experience. And
okay.
so I put the curriculum in my classroom.
I got it. Okay, so then let me swing back to Klaus. Klaus, put the survey in context of Amgen's Biotech Experience, which we'll talk about.
Sure. Well, one of the things, you know, the survey we actually did as something very distinct from Amgen Biotech Experience because we wanted to see what it is that motivates young people to get into science, right? But the reality is that the same kinds of findings that came out of the survey seemed to be the kinds of findings that really supported the work that Amgen Foundation has been doing. And one of the things they do, focus a lot of attention on is the Amgen Biotech Experience. So I think from the point, I don't want to speak for the Amgen Foundation, given that, you know, they're a partner, but I don't speak for them. But my sense is that what motivates them is the interest in figuring out how it is they can engage students in science. They've been putting a lot of effort into that with the Amgen Biotech Experience. And so that was the same motivation behind this survey, to see what it is that gets their engines running.
Okay. And so do you have the findings there, Klaus, of the survey?
Yeah. You know, do you want me to go through some of them?
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, you know, it was very interesting. There were some things that we were not surprised to see and other things that we were very surprised to see. And I think it all added up to, which is always what happens with a good survey, but it all added up ultimately to the sense that we might be missing some opportunities in education. And I'll explain what I mean. You know, first of all, finding that isn't very surprising, but I think very important, is that schools are absolutely critical and that teachers especially are a top influence in getting students really interested in science careers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we found that among students who said they were interested in pursuing science as a career, 86% said that teachers were the biggest influence in their career decision among them. You know, and that's basically the same number or percentage of students who cited parents as their main influence. We have this huge, teachers are hugely influential in the career decisions of students, especially when it comes to science. So that's good news. You know, we've got this, it's very hard to influence what kids learn in their own families, but we can influence what kids learn in their schools. So that was an important finding. But I think one of the more surprising things that we found was that we're not really realizing schools' potential to get students hooked on science. You know, so one thing that really almost shocked me, frankly, was that in this big national sample, a representative sample that we took mm-hmm. the students, we found that science classes were on average less popular among high schoolers than their other classes were.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So 37% said that they like their science classes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was substantially lower than what they said for other classes.
I have to ask you a question. What was their feeling about math class? Was that lower or higher than science? I have a feeling it was lower.
You'll have to forgive me because I'd have to dig back into the data set about that. I suspect you might be right, but I can't say for sure.
I was going to say the reason I was thinking that is because math and science obviously go together a great deal, right, Amanda?
Yes, they do.
Thank you. Okay, you have to verify what I say. I'm the host. When things are taught out of context, without interdisciplinary, the kids don't get the connection. Okay, but if you put the two together, and even social studies and English for reading and et cetera, there's going to be more interest. Okay, there's going to be more interest, but they lose it when it's in a vacuum. That's my feeling. Any thoughts on that, Mr. Von Zylstrom?
Well, yeah, I think that there is some of that here, because one of the reasons why you'd think science would be among the most popular classes for teenagers.
Discovery.
Exactly. It's discovery. It's hands-on exploration in their own environment, you know, with things that they actually have in the classroom or perhaps at home or elsewhere. It offers so many opportunities for teens to get really hooked and for interdisciplinary connections and other things. And so,
why don't they like it? Like Amanda's class, I'll bet you dollars to donuts. Why don't they like it across the board?
Well, I mean, we tried to figure that out. And you're right. I mean, I'm sure that they love Amanda's class. But in general,
I'm already in love with Amanda, so I can only imagine being in class.
That's right. Well, you know, the thing is, we ask them what they really would like to have out of science class and what it is they actually get from science class.
Yeah.
And so just to give you an example, field trips were among teens' most popular teaching methods. Right, but it was dead last in the column of what they actually get. Right, so it's among the things they like the most, but the thing they get the least. And teaching straight from textbooks was something that was least popular among teens, but they said it was among the most common strategies used in their classrooms. So what's happening is there's sort of a mismatch between what the teens want and what they get. And the thing to remember here is that teens are actually pretty savvy. What they say they want in this survey is what research also says is generally best for them. You know, and so how often do we see teenagers actually wanting what's best for them? You know, so this is an opportunity we really have to take a hold of.
Right. Well said. And with virtual reality, I'm just on that because I did that show this morning. I'm telling you, we'll be able to take them anywhere in the world, to every museum, to every science place in the universe, and they don't have to leave their desks. It's absolutely what's coming down the pike is unbelievable. We're going to help those kids. And, you know, it's interesting with the survey, all right? There's not a store, Walmart, Cabela's, whatever you want to say. There's no store in the world that doesn't survey the customers and move to where the customers want it to be. Okay, we have forgotten that to a great extent in education. The kids are the customers, and boy, are they changing. Okay, and your students on STEM survey from Amgen, okay, literally, gets the kids involved in this, and I think it's wonderful. I think it's great. What else did you find? Anything else, Klaus, that are going to blow our socks off?
Sure. Well, we found a number of different things that, you know, for one thing, it was also true that outside of schools, teens wanted to have more exposure to the kinds of things that scientists do, right? So they wanted more classes related to their career in school, but they also outside of school wanted to do things like shadowing real scientists in their jobs and volunteering or getting career counseling. And so, but there was a huge disconnect here between what they wanted, right? Very large majorities of teens said they wanted all these things, and those who said they actually had access to them. you know, just give you one example, job shadowing. 83% of teens said they wanted this. Only 19% of teens said they actually had access to it. So, you know, and this is understandable to some degree, but it is something that not only schools have to tackle, but a broader community has to tackle, including the business community, but also many other communities, to make sure that teens actually get to see and have exposure to what scientists really do. And we also found something else that other researchers have found, and that is that if you're a low-income teen or a teen of color, you're least likely to have this exposure. You're least likely to know an actual scientist. You're least likely, for example, to take part in science clubs, and have the other kinds of experiences that might get you on a pathway to science. So these inequities that we've already seen in the scientific community are being reproduced in the next generation.
Not good. Not good at all. Amanda, do you see the findings in your students? I know your kids are terrific, but to compare the findings to what's actually going on, and we're just using your East Boston 10th, 11th, 12th grade classroom. What do you see?
Well, I think high school students are very good at telling you what they want and don't want. So when I pull out something they don't like, I assure you I hear it in a few seconds. But I also keep in mind when I'm talking about my students, I think I'm in a very lucky environment because I'm working at East Boston High School. I'm working in Boston. We have a lot of resources. I work with Amgen Foundation. I'm able to get my hands on the resources and the curriculum. I work with a PIC. It's the Private Industry Council. So I work closely with the STEM coordinators there, and we put students in job shadow. The students are ready. They love going on field trips. They love going on job shadow days. That fills up. The students absolutely love when one of their favorite curriculum units is when I bring in the Amgen Foundation and I do the Amgen Biotech experience, and they make glowing bacteria. And so when students start taking selfies with glowing bacteria and inviting their friends in to come hang out in science class, you know something's going right.
I live in Maine. My wife works in Boston. If you want to do an experiment in growing bacteria, please come and check our kitchen when she gets home.
Well, I have a group of students ready to go.
Yeah, so they would love it. They get job shed. They can grow all the bacteria they want. I get yelled at every time she comes back. Okay, so this is really good. How'd you get hooked up with Amgen? I'm curious.
Well, I live in a neighborhood school. So Tara and Alia Katarna, it happens that one of my assistant headmasters taught Alia, who works for the Amgen Foundation, in elementary school. And she called the school up and said, "Hey, I work for Amgen. Do you have anybody interested in biotech?" And the headmaster said, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to put you right in touch with Amanda." And we started getting in touch. And, it's all about connections and exposure and building relationships across the city. And Amgen, I've worked with him for years. I love it. Alia has come into my school, so they've gotten to meet her. And we've sung scientific rap songs together because she likes to create them.
Pretty interesting. Boom, boom, boom.
Really? No, it's true.
No.
And the students are really excited, and they get to see people who are scientists, and they know they're getting something special. When the Amgen program comes in and I bring in all the equipment and a student holds a pipette for the first time, and they're just like, wow. You know, they absolutely love it.
The survey's accurate, basically, isn't it?
The survey is accurate. Absolutely.
What about field trips? I know budgets are always tight, okay? But what about field trips? Klaus brought that up, and I'm just curious. Do we count a job shadow as a field trip?
A job shadow is there are different kinds. But a job shadow is a field trip run through the PIC often.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have my own field trips. But keep in mind, I do want to speak with a grain of salt because I live in Boston and there's a T and my students are very savvy. So a lot of times, for example, we will do the biotech unit and then we'll hop on the T and we'll go to another biotech company and the students will get to demonstrate their work. And they're really excited because they'll walk into another biotech company and say, "Well, I already know how to use a micropipette." And that has happened many times. But I'm really excited because I'm seeing that more and more biotech companies and there are more foundations are really opening the doors for our students to come in and work with them.
Boy, you're really a great place. And by the way, I have to translate something. The T is Boston's Mass Transit System, the big T. We're talking nationally, so I just wanted to make sure when they hop on the T, they're hopping on Mass Transit. Okay? Right? The blue line.
Absolutely. The blue line.
Yes, I know. I know. And by the way, where's Amgen? Are they in Rhode Island, Klaus? Are they? Am I right?
The folks I deal with are really in California.
Oh, wow. Wow. And is a part of it in Rhode Island, too? It's just ringing a bell for some reason.
They may have. Right. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I know they have a lot of operations in California around the Bay Area.
Okay, cool. And where was that, Aaliyah, where was she from, Amanda?
Aaliyah was born in East Boston.
But is she here now, or is she in California?
No.
Get out of the snow.
So the Amgen Foundation also has headquarters in Boston as well.
Oh, that's
there
right.
There you go.
Now
okay,
that I
thank you.
So there's, yeah.
There you
so
go.
So we have Ollie and Tara run the Boston section.
Okay, cool. What do you hear from you? By the way, I want to ask one other question of Klaus. I don't know if this was in the fine deck. I can ask Amanda, too. You said how teachers can influence students to get into the professions of science. I'm curious. The teachers can also influence students to become teachers. And I'm curious if there was ever mentioned that they wanted to become science teachers.
Yeah, that's that's a really good question. It's not something we actually asked in the survey, but one of the challenges that we face out there is that teachers with a lot of STEM skills also very often have the option to have higher paying jobs than what they get in teaching. And so it's a difficult competitive environment. And one of the things that's really happening now, and one of the reasons why maybe only 37% of high schoolers say that they like their science classes a lot, is that the way that science is being taught, or at least the way that people want it to be taught, has been changing a great deal. But very often teachers don't get the support they need to implement those changes. So, on the one hand, as you said, it's really important for teachers to listen and schools to listen to their students and, in a sense, meet the customer's demands. On the other hand, it's also true that, teachers have a lot of important content knowledge to impart, even as they get students really invested in inquiry and exploration and all of that. And it's not easy to do all those things at the same time. It's really hard, in fact.
Yeah.
And so the teachers really need the support to be able to do this well.
Yeah. Amanda, do you think some of your students are going to get into the sciences? I hope so.
They really have, and I have students that have
I don't mean that. I don't mean get into it like because they love it. I mean get into it as a profession after they graduate. Have any of them talked to you about that?
Yes. We're actually having more and more students go through the profession. I have students that keep up with me because, like I said, it's a neighborhood school, and the students a lot of times still live in East Boston, so I see them a lot even when they graduate. And I have students graduating in different mechanical engineering, biochemistry. Oh. We have scientists. Oh. We're having more, and I think these programs are really important because they're giving our students more confidence to take healthy risk and to say, here's some exposure to different jobs that you could have, and you have the skills and you have the intellect, now go get it. And more we're seeing a larger build of confidence where they're going into something they thought maybe wasn't accessible to them before.
Right. I think it's wonderful. And I'm making a stereotypical statement here, but are a lot of them first-generation college students?
Many students are in Boston Public, first-generation college students.
Yes.
Many of students of mine that I teach weren't born in this country. So they're actually, a lot of them are either first generation Americans or they've come in the last few years.
Wow. How does it make you feel when you see these kids succeed like this and go get into the sciences? It's got to make you feel like $1 million.
I'm going to tell you it does. It really does.
Right.
I really love seeing them achieve. Well, find a dream. And when you can see a student really kind of latch on to something in your classroom and follow through and finish it up, and you can see them actually be successful, then it's very, very exciting. It's very exciting. Go ahead.
No, you go. Finish up.
Oh, I will tell you something that I'm extremely proud of. Is I've been using this program for a couple of years and teaching students electrophoresis and pipetting and a lot of the skill sets. So not only they're learning the content, but they're actually learning a set of skills. And then I had Dr. Caldwell and Ryan call me up because they had started a life science apprenticeship program for high school students. And they said, "Do you think you've got some students that can handle it?" I said, "I do." And it was over at MIT. And I sat down with the students, and I told them, I said, you had me last year. You can do this. I believe in you. One of them was like, yes, I'm going. And the other one said, well, can I hang out with you for a little while after school, and you can brush me up? But both of those students did it. They signed up. They took a risk. They went over to MIT. They graduated in her program.
Wow.
I attended their graduation ceremony. And they're so proud. And they're gaining
you
confidence.
You should be proud,
those
too.
Those students will go even further.
You should be proud, too. How long have you been teaching?
I've been teaching 10 years, all in Boston Public Schools. This
wow.
will be my fifth year at East Boston.
And what prompted you to become a science teacher as opposed to a scientist?
That's a really good question, because when I first started out in science, I was going to be a scientist. And I went
through
different
molecular biology training
programs.
I don't mean to sound like your father when I asked that. I'm just curious.
Well, you did.
Honey, you could have been a scientist. Why'd you become a science teacher? Right.
Well, I love science, but I found that I really loved working with students, especially high school students. I think they're full of energy and a lot of fun. And that is an age where you can really grasp them, and it's a very important time in their lives. And you can help them achieve goals and find goals, and you have a big part. It's a very – I love being a science teacher more than I would have loved this.
I can tell. You get the kids from middle school, junior, high school. How well-versed are they when you get them? In 10th grade, I assume? Does East Boston start
in
10th? Okay. So they're in 9th grade, 8th grade, 7th grade. When you get them, what's their attitude towards science?
You know, it varies. A lot of times it varies from their science teacher that they had. And I actually know some of their middle school science teachers and have worked with him. And he's fabulous. And they're can be really excited. Students come into my classroom very hopeful. When a student walks into a science classroom on that first day, and I'm excited because I'm going to see them next Thursday, there's a lot of hope in the air. They are excited, they do like science, and they're hoping they're getting a quality, great education. And when you can really deliver and hit home with what they want, it's quite magical. And when you can't, it's a disaster. I assure you.
Wow. You are a good teacher, Amanda. Klaus, a round of applause, please, for Amanda. She is really.
I'm clapping. I don't know if you can hear it over the phone, but
yeah. I mean, that's what you're saying. you're like everybody's dream teacher come true, Amanda. Okay,
well,
you're
magical. I'm yelling at him about homework.
Yeah, well, they'll survive that. They'll survive that. You know, it's really amazing the influence you've had and all that sort of thing. And Klaus, maybe I'll go back to Klaus here. Klaus, help me out with the Amgen Biotech Experience, which, by the way, is amgenbiotechexperience.com. Change the equation is changetheequation.org. Okay, and
right.
Everybody involved in STEM should check out those sites. Do they accept everybody to be like if I apply, not me, but if I were a science teacher and I apply to the Amgen Biotech Experience, are they going to just automatically accept me and send me all this research grade stuff and I can finally build my time machine and find out when I was a history what it was really like in 1776 or what?
Well, no. Again, I will defer to the Amgen Foundation people and also to Amanda on the details.
Okay.
But as I understand I don't know that they've ever turned anyone away. Let's put it this way. As I understand it, they have resource centers, and they can get more and more teachers the training they need to be able to use those resources. That's how I understand its operation.
AmgenBiotechExperience.com. Amanda, do you know?
Yes.
I know you weren't turned
away. Have they turned away a teacher ever? No, I think they're one of the things that I think this program is very special is I call it the trifecta. I mean, but either way, what happens is they give you the resources that you need, but one of the things that's so important is that they give teachers professional development. So not every biology teacher has gone through a molecular biology training program, and that's very important because there's a lot of very wonderful, hardworking, dedicated teachers that don't necessarily have this skill set. And that, it hinders kind of the implementation of molecular biology in the high school. But one of the things I love about Amgen is they have very friendly people, and they accept new teachers in, and then they train you. And so, for example, in Boston, you can go for a week-long program in the summer. I've usually gone for a two-day program. I usually go to Woods Hole. And you spend 2 days with them practicing equipment, learning how to pipette, learning how to do these things. So teachers feel very comfortable. And then they go out, and then what happens is you kind of sign up, and I know I have a 3 to 4 week window sometime this year. Well, I'll reach out to Alia, and I'll go pick up the equipment and the resources. And then if I need help, I can call Alia up and say, hey, look, I don't know what's going on. I think I messed up with the primer concentration. Can you help? And they're on call. And so not only will they help you on the phone, but they'll come out to your school and help you implement it. So it's pretty fabulous. It really is.
Yeah, and by the way, you just mentioned another one. I want to make this national here. Woods Hole, where she goes, is down on the Cape. It's the Great Scientific Center, and that's where Robert Ballard left to go find the Titanic. It's the Woods Hole is the oceanographic research and all the other cool stuff that's science-based. Right, Amanda?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty nice down there, pretty beautiful. And I think that's also where the ferry leaves for Nantucket, isn't it?
For Nantucket, I've left off of Hyannis. I think Woods Hole might leave out of Martha's Vineyard, but I think you can get to Nantucket, too.
I think you can get there from Woods Hole. I'm not sure, but anyway, it's a great part of Cape Cod. A lot of people go there on vacation. I just want everybody to feel a part of this whole thing so that they understand it, and we're not talking just Boston. Klaus, you're in New York, right?
No, we're in Washington, D.C., actually.
D.C. I read your area code wrong. It's 202, not 212.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
how long is that change the equation been around?
Well, we've been around for 6 years, actually. Just, in fact, our sixth anniversary is coming up September 16th.
Well, let me be the first to wish you a happy anniversary. You getting
Thank
each other
you.
A gift or what?
Okay. Yeah, well, no, we're finally out of the terrible twos, you know, and getting into more responsible
getting
age.
Into elementary school. You know, we have the name Change the Equation, and this pertains to what Amanda does too, okay? And this is a great organization, changetheequation.org. But when you look at it, and you're COO, okay? Mm-hmm. Has the equation been changed? Okay, this is what we want to do. And how far, you know, on a scale, how far along are we? 80%, 100%, 3%? You know, of course, you're more than just a name. Okay, so just talk about that. Where
well,
it all is
you know,
now.
You're going to hate me for the answer, but it's yes and no. And let me elaborate on that a little bit. The equation has changed over the past few decades. U.S. students do better, for example, in math now than they did 20, 30 years ago.
That's because I was in math class 30 years ago.
That's why we were
average down. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So now you were an outlier. Now that you're out of the data pool, we're okay.
Now that I'm out of it, we're back up again.
But so there has been that kind of a change. There has been, I just saw news yesterday that there is change in the fact that lower income kids are actually in early childhood are now performing better respective to their peers than they did just about 10 years ago. In fact, that gap has lessened. So there has been progress. Right, but nowhere near enough. Nowhere near enough. When you look at our standing internationally, we've actually been losing some standing internationally. There are still enormous gaps between lower-income students and students of color, for example, when compared to their wealthier peers. Or to white and Asian students. These problems have to be addressed, and a lot of them have to do with access. Lower-income students of color have less access to the experiences they need to succeed. And I think we are making some progress in this. I think that a lot of states have stronger standards for academic success. They are working hard to create better materials to ensure that success. So there, you know, I wish I could give you a percentage that we're, you know, 20 or 30% of the way there, but that's a hard thing to give because there's so many facets to this. I think the biggest takeaway is if we don't keep exerting a lot of effort in this, we're not going to be where we need to be. But we also have to realize that a lot of the effort that we've given in the last couple of decades has actually paid off. So we know we can make a difference. We just have to step it up.
We have to make a difference. And, of course, one of the keys is that people are now aware of this. Okay.
Yep.
And that's one of the first steps. You know, that's really the first step towards making a difference. Excuse me for coughing. My allergy's acting up a little bit. Okay. I'm curious, and Klaus, I want you to answer this, then I'm going to go to Amanda. We got about 3 minutes left. Klaus, why are companies like Amgen so involved in this? I mean, they're a company. They got business to do, okay? So why are they so involved in education?
Well,
we have a lot of member companies, so you can speak for
them. We have
all
a lot of
them,
member so. Companies, yeah. And so I can speak for them, and I think I can probably capture what Amgen's thinking to some degree too, and that is they need a workforce. You know, first of all, they want to do good. There are companies that realize that the nation can't thrive if these huge inequities persist. It just
That's
can't,
right.
You know, and they know it. And it's true morally, and it's also true economically. So they want to do good, but they also need a workforce. You know, they're looking down the road, and they realize that they need very talented people in many more jobs. I mean, there's a lot of research coming out of places like Georgetown that underscores the fact that more and more jobs will require higher levels of education, that those jobs will also pay better. So they need those people. And if they're not in the trenches trying to help schools improve, or at least providing the kinds of support that can help schools improve, then they're going to find themselves without the workforce they need. So there's a whole complex of reasons why companies get involved, but I think those are two of the biggies.
Yeah, and it pays off, doesn't it, Amanda? I mean, look at the difference. Look at the difference.
It absolutely pays off. It absolutely pays off.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think one of the things that's really important that I want to leave, I was talking to a friend about the survey and everything, and he works at my school in capacity with these students, and he said something that really struck me. He said, Amanda, how can you achieve what you don't know exists? And the facts are that I think it's so important about the companies opening their doors is they're creating exposure. I agree with Klaus as well. It's about access and exposure.
Wow.
And biotech companies are opening their doors. Our kids are now seeing, they're seeing what's there, and they're wanting it.
Wow.
And a teacher's job really is to help maneuver them to achieve their goals. And the goals match up. My students need jobs that are amazing, and these companies have them.
They do.
So.
And, boy, you just summed it up. You can't achieve what you don't know exists. And if these kids see it in action, and if they have great teachers like you, I might add, it makes all the difference in the world. We got to go. You two were wonderful. I'll be back. Amanda, come on anytime. Bring one of your students. They're always welcome. You're always welcome.
Thank you very much.
I love having students on. You're a terrific teacher, I got to tell you. And Klaus, keep up the good work. I'm going to change the equation on the show for shows of your own. Is that okay? I'm going to get in touch with you, okay?
That'd be great. Thanks so much.
You're more than welcome. Thank you. And Amanda, thank you. You keep up the good work. You're like a shining star. You're going to heaven. I don't know about Klaus, but I know you
think Amanda's got a much better
thank
shot
you.
Than I do.
I agree. Okay, so you have to be a really good guy, Klaus, to make up for the difference, okay, between this heavenly angel in East Boston and yourself. On that note, thank you both. You were wonderful.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Thanks again.
Thanks.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Klaus. Thank you, Amanda. Okay, let me just go over this real quick here. It's changetheequation.org. You should learn about them. And they tweet at change equation. Okay. And then we have the Amgen Biotech Experience, which is AmgenBiotechExperience.com. Okay. And if you want to learn more about the survey, you can go to, this is easier. changetheequation.org/students-STEM. changetheequation.org/students-STEM. Okay. And Amanda, I'll give out your tweet if they want to follow a great teacher. That's Amanda Dilling H3. Amanda, like Amanda Dillingham, but it's Amanda Dilling H3. Okay. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. Please follow us. You're involved in education. My name is Larry Jacobs. Great teacher, great organization, a wonderful show. Thank you both. This is Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.
Did you know the flu shot takes up to 2 weeks to take effect? That's why I'm getting my flu shot now, so I can outsmart the flu before there's an outbreak. At Walgreens, your flu shot even helps give a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Get a shot, give a shot. Doubly smart. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2017, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 18 cents up to $2 million. Learn more at walgreens.com/get a shot. Vaccine restrictions apply.
Labor Day. It's time to get outdoors and make your holiday weekend one to remember. And there's no better place to get ready than Cabela's. Get 30% off all Cabela's camp kitchens, furniture, and cots. $100 off a Ruger American Bolt Action Rifle with Vortex Scope Combo after sale and mail-in rebate. 15% off all in-stock canoes and kayaks. And $20 off Winchester USA bulk handgun ammo. Hurry in and gear up for Labor Day weekend at Cabela's.
What if you could get truly original jeans at a price that's truly incredible? Well, right now, you can. Because Levi's and JCPenney are offering your favorite fits for some phenomenal prices through Labor Day. For men, Levi's 511 Slim Jeans are on sale at their lowest price of the season, just $39.99. And for women, Levi's 535 Super Skinny and Mid-Rise Skinny are also on sale for prices as low as $36.99. Stop by your nearest JCPenney or go to jcpenney.com today.